KFAS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The judge in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial will give the jury final instructions in a little over 2 hours. Then jurors will have to decide what happens next. ABC's Lindsay Tuckman is at the courthouse in Lower Manhattan with more.
The jury has several options today. They have the option of convicting Trump on all the counts, acquitting him of all of those counts, or delivering a mixed verdict in which he is found guilty of some charges, but not others. And the final option, of course, is a hung jury if they don't come to a decision in that in which the judge could declare a mistrial.
The president and vice president will be in Pennsylvania today. They will be announcing a new initiative for black voters. Investigators in Youngstown, Ohio, are still trying to figure out what blew the facade off a building, killing one person, leaving seven hurt. At this point, they have no idea what caused the explosion. In the Middle East, a series of strikes in the southern city of Rafah this morning as Israel continues its offensive. This is ABC News. Back in court again today, trying to get a new trial. Scott Peterson, convicted 20 years ago of killing his then-pregnant wife.
Much of the attempt by Scott Peterson and his attorneys from the LA Innocence Project relies on what unfolds in a Redwood City courtroom today. They want pieces of evidence tested or retested for DNA, and they claim those results will show under current DNA technology that Scott Peterson did not commit the murders. But prosecutors say Peterson was convicted and has tried over and over again to get off, but has been denied, and that the attempts need to stop. It'll be up to a judge today. Alex Stone, ABC News.
NBA playoffs. Timberwolves survive in the Western Conference Finals, beating Dallas, but Minnesota still trails in the series 3-1. And it turns out peanut butter may be good for babies. A new study from British researchers suggests that introducing smooth peanut butter to babies as young as 4 months old can cut down on the risk of peanut allergies by 70%. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Supporters of Donald Trump say they have enough signatures to force a recall election of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. That's after their first attempt came up short. Petition circulators say they have more than 8,000 signatures from voters in the district where Voss was elected in 2022. Voss has 10 days to challenge the signatures. Federal transportation leaders say they're looking into adding more new passenger train service in Wisconsin. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says people in Wisconsin want to take the train.
There's no reason why Americans should settle for less in terms of our quality and reliability of passenger rail compared to any other country. That's what this is really about.
Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A new look for the Packers defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers continue OTA practices. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley on what he thinks about his new safety, Xavier McKinney, signed in free agency.
No, it's funny you guys asked me about that. One, I'll just say it's been so nice to have X. What a pro. I mean, how hard he works, the communication, the way he is in the meeting rooms, the way he looks out for the younger guys.
NFL OTAs could be a thing of the past. The Players Union working on a proposal to eliminate voluntary spring practices and in return have players report earlier to training camp. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-3 loss in extra innings to the Cubs at AmFam Field. Chicago scoring 5 runs in the 10th after a 1-1 tie in the 9th. Cubs manager Craig Counsell on snapping a 5-game losing streak.
That's why you keep fighting, and the ball talk hit, ends up getting their closer out of the game, and then we put together a really good inning.
That's the Cubs' Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
All kinds of sunshine today. We'll get to 66 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 70. On Friday, partly cloudy with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by comedian and former Dinner in a Movie host, Paul Gilmartin. We'll talk about the new Dinner in a Movie reboot, and I'll be joined in studio by filmmaker Craig Anthony Knitt.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number two of Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. Joining us right now, a man that knows his way around Green Bay.
That he do.
Jason Jerry, founder of the Greater Green Bay Llama,
yep,
which has been a huge success and popularity and all those kinds of things. I mean, I don't know how those are judged, I guess, by hits and things, and that I don't know.
I'm not sure how you judge that either. Okay. Interactions.
Yes.
Well, I think another way to judge that is just the community buzz.
Yeah, sure.
Are people talking about it? You know what I mean? Like, it's maybe not the most scientific, but a lot of people are talking about it. I mean, when you started that, I mean, that was really got a lot of people engaged, and you allow comments back and forth, although you kind of had to temper that a little bit.
We do, and we temper it, and I think that's the main difference between the Llama as a Facebook group and a lot of the media stations' Facebook comments. You know, a lot of your Fox 11 and your BAY Press Gazette, the comment sections can tend to get a little out of control with trolls and partisanship.
Right.
And we try to temper that a little bit and keep it as, we try to keep it as nonpartisan as possible. The comments, obviously, you can't really regulate, but we at least we approach it from an anti-partisan point of view in terms of how we post the news and cover the news.
And it's a heck of a sounding board.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's a community water cooler where people will get around and talk about the local things and local news, politics, and events and things like that in a way where we kind of keep them under. We don't control them, but we control the narrative a slight bit in that we want people to behave as though they're neighbors.
Yeah.
So that you're having this conversation. You're having it online, but you also could be having it face-to-face in person.
Absolutely.
We try.
And I think what you said, Jerry, and we're talking what's the official name? The Llama? Or is it called?
The Greater Green Bay Society of the Llama. Okay. But we just call it the Llama for short.
All right. And what you said a couple times in your last comment was it's local. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons Johnny and I took this job is because the owner of our company felt there was a void for local content, local information. And we're not critical of the Press Gazette, but they are owned by Gannett. You know?
Oh, yeah,
and you look at these TV stations, when you take the advertising and the weather, there's not a whole lot of time left, you know, and they don't just cover it like you do. And I think to give people, it helps voting, obviously, and it just helps people get more engaged in their
community. Really try to focus on the greater Green Bay area and the surrounding communities. You know, the TV stations, well, Press Gazette and like Ben Krumholtz does an amazing
job.
He's fantastic, the best reporter in the market.
Yep.
They have to cover Appleton and Oshkosh and Marinette and
Sheboygan.
And, you know, they have to cover the entirety of Northeast Wisconsin, whereas we just focus on the greater Green Bay area.
And is that part of your, to join that group, that Facebook group, is that the question? You have to live in Greater Green Bay, or can anybody join?
Well, anybody can join, but we want to prove that they're a real person. So we try to have some interaction with them ahead of time, ask them a few questions that qualify them to get in. Like we ask, you know, who were one of the former Green Bay mayors. Okay. So we've got Genrich and Schmidt and Jaden, and then a fourth option that is not. And we automatically know who's a robot by if they choose that fourth option.
I see. Interesting. All right.
I like that.
I just want to say that I want to get back to the buzz on that, because sometimes you'll just be talking to people, did you see this on the llama, this on the llama? And I think that speaks well for you that you went from zero to 5,000 and not a real long period.
We've got
of time.
About roughly 8,000
8,000
who joined right now, but those are just the people who joined. You don't have to join to read it. So we see the analytics on that and know that every post gets probably three times the amount of actual people who have joined. Just reading. So there's a lot of lurkers out there, too. So all you lurkers need to join so that we can keep track of how many there actually are.
I will say this, though. And it can go in a lot of different directions, but when there's a serious topic, like with the superintendent here for the school.
Yes.
I mean, that was must read. I'm going to be honest with you, because some of those people were so well informed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say any of their names, but you know some of them. And I mean, that was really good information people were giving. It's not just I'm going to biatch about this or that.
Right.
There were some really insightful comments on that. I thought
when
that was
the llama
important.
First started, it was mainly made up by a lot of people who were really movers and shakers in the area. Mm-hmm. You know, those were the people who were on it first. And then it expanded to where now you've got all types of people. But we wanted to maintain that core group of people to where if anyone in the city had a question, that someone like a Brian Johnson was on the llama and could answer that question for
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A little disappointing, though, that even with our efforts and your efforts to drill down to local, we still had a tremendous amount of unopposed races. And when you look at that, and look, I'm just telling you something you already know, but that is not good because it leads to a little bit of apathy, but it can lead to worse things, much, much worse things than that, where it's thinking like, wait a minute, I'm in control of this. I've run unopposed for 10 years in a row, and they can get a little bit inflated on their importance because they haven't had any competition. And I just will tell you, 60 Minutes did a big story on this. I mean, it was a year ago, but it was really interesting on lack of local coverage and lack of honesty in local government, and it was pretty hard-hitting.
You're right. It is disappointing to see how many local seats went unopposed. Not so much on city council. We had some good races on city council.
Not talking the county board. Is 19 out of 26.
Yeah, county board, absolutely.
For years and years and years.
If only we could get more, you know, people interested in county board. And I actually ran for county board very briefly. There was a situation where there was no one running, and I threw my name in the hat as a write-in and lost to another write-in. So at least there's that.
But Jerry, think about that. 200,000 people and nobody's running. I mean, that's a shame.
I don't know if they need to make it more lucrative for them. I don't know if they need to pay them more because there's no money in county politics whatsoever.
Well, city either. I mean, they get paid the same as city council, and the city works, you know, much harder. Not much harder. They do work much harder because everything's the city. I was on the county board, and I did this mailing rapid response thing. You have any issues, just send it, fill out the card, self-addressed, and send it back. And I got a stack of them back, and I think three were for the county. The rest of them I took to the city council guy. You know, I mean, I said, I'll help you with these, but I don't think people understand the county as much. I mean, they were started as their purpose really was an extension of the state for health and human services.
Right.
And I don't think people understand, the airport. Well, what are you going to do at the airport? The airport's kind of the airport, you know? So, but we have to make it more interesting, I guess.
Let me ask this, though. Do you think the fact that, you know, you can't really hide or be anonymous in politics anymore, no matter what level, anything like that, with the social media and everything like that,
right.
Do you think that scares some people off?
You know, it could. And I don't know if it's the llama that's scaring people off, but...
I don't mean that. I know what you're saying. In general, everything is, you know...
It is. There's definitely a spotlight on you.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. You've
got to be prepared to open yourself up to the people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it can get ugly. I mean, social media, it just can. And I think there's some people that, look, I'm not going to put... I mean, I personally never cared, but you don't want to put your family through it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
that's, absolutely.
That, I think, is their bigger concern. And even people who were... I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Neutral, or even like a guy like Senator Coles had some really bad social media. It's like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So that can be tough. I don't know if that's the deterrent. I don't think it's money, but I mean, some people have said, you know, they get $11,500, you know, but even if you bring it to $14,000, is that going to make a difference?
Probably not. I mean, most of the people who are getting into politics don't need it to support themselves anyway. So, but maybe we need some of those people in there who, you know, aren't completely rely, who would be, you know, needing a little bit of something. And we don't need more bank presidents and rich people on county board kind of a thing.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
What do you see as the biggest problems in Green Bay right now? Because obviously there were, you know, when we first came on the air here, we were bragging, hey, number one best place to live. And now it came out 12th or, yeah, or whatever. You see it on a ground roots level. What do you see as the biggest issues of Green Bay outside of tundra land and yada, yada, mm-hmm, and all that kind of stuff? When you're on the streets, you see it. What is it?
Well, it's kind of funny. As I'm sitting here waiting to come in, you just had some people without homes crossing, yeah, by before as you're talking, yeah, about Red Lobster. And I thought that dichotomy was interesting to see that. Yeah. That's something that, and you know, Jim's, you know, done so much in the community too. I think we need to do more for the homeless people in the city or unhoused.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I mean, yeah. We've talked about that, but, you know, there's an entity that should step up a little bit more because it's tough right now, Jerry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. And I deal with these people pretty much every day. And these are real people. These are good people that just they want homeless in their rearview mirror. But yeah, they need some help to get out of it. And if what happened to them, Johnny and I were talking about this yesterday a little bit, actually this morning, if what happened to them could happen to us. I mean, a bad health, you know, something, oh, yeah, where you didn't have proper insurance, you thought you did, or some people, they miss it on their house.
Oh, I mean, if not that, for my wife, I'd be on the streets.
Well, I was in real estate, one of the guys that I knew, it was a foreclosed house. We had to go in and clean it out and everything.
Yeah.
It was a guy I knew, yeah, but he was self-employed, didn't have great health insurance. Something happened with his wife. He lost his house.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a successful businessman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people can say, well, he should have had the foresight to, well, okay, fine, that's all great to say. But the fact of the matter is, he's not some, you know, drug addict type person, right, who's homeless. He lost his house.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to get out of homelessness. I mean, he doesn't feel entitled. He just wants to get out. And I'm a little bit, when I first got into this a little bit more, the guy's house burned down. He didn't have insurance. I'm like, mm-hmm, you kind of look at that like, wow.
I know.
But like Johnny said, you know, it lapsed. I thought she did it. She thought I did it. And the other thing that happens is, you know, if you turn to alcohol, that's never, mm-hmm, good. And then usually if you lose your job and you turn to alcohol, pretty good chance your wife is going to leave you. And yeah, then what are you? Then you're on the street. And exactly, we can't have that. We got to get these people help before they get to that level.
I mean, and it's scary because Jim has had several people from the homeless shelter here. And we had this one guy who looks like he could have played linebacker in, sure, in the NFL. And he was talking about how afraid he was every night when he'd go to sleep on the streets. And he would sleep right by the police station, even though he knew he was going to get rousted then, at least, yeah, he felt safer being closer to a police station.
Isn't that,
and again,
sad?
This is a guy, yes, who you would not want to tangle with, and he's talking about how afraid he, yeah, was out on the, yeah, street.
This is Green Bay, Wisconsin, number one city in the country to live. And we had a guy on last week, 2 weeks ago, that 8 months ago, which isn't that long ago, 8 months ago, was sleeping in a park, and he would sleep on the slide. I'm like, well, why did you sleep on the slide?
Up on the landing.
Yeah, to stay away from, like, the
to
critters.
Be safer.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
and that all comes back to the overall thing of low-income housing in the city,
right,
too. We need more of that.
I go for walks. I live right here during the week, and I go for walks, and inevitably on a Sunday morning on Walnut Street and some of those alcoves, whatever you want to call it, there'll be somebody sleeping, sure, in there. And a lot of times it's women by themselves. Yeah. And it's like, geez, Louise, I mean, not to... But it's like,
it's a lot like the old days walking down Broadway. It was, right, a tough walk.
Oh,
back in the old days.
Man.
But the reason it's the way it is now is somebody stepped up and said, look, this is serious. And we need that, right? We need a, yeah, stronger. But anyway,
we guys had a quick break. Can you stick around?
I can.
Jason Jerry, Greater Green Bay Llama, our very special guest. Ben and Deanna Malcor coming up. Ben Crumrolls from Fox 11. And we're talking about the Dino Pitchka Memorial Softball Tournament. Back right after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I love my dog and my cats, but that is not always the feeling I have about them when I am doing my budget. Holy moly, pets can be expensive. so I found a few ways to save money on my pets without feeling like I'm cutting corners. Number one, some vet offices offer a bulk buy for a set of appointments, which can cut down on the per-visit cost of checkups. Number two, look around for online deals for pet food. I was resistant to this one for a while, but I found a subscribe and save deal at Chewy.com that was significantly cheaper than what I was paying for near my house. Number three, Craigslist. Craigslist might have it for free or close to it, and it's worth a check for things like a harness or washable toys or pet supplies. I got my dog's crate at Craigslist. And that is today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Our theme song?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Todd. By the way, Todd, I see it's Melissa Etheridge's birthday today.
Yeah, you want me to rock some of that out? You got it.
Whose baby can you see has a her hair?
Play the song so we recognize it.
I got razors and ribbon. And oh, I love Melissa Etheridge. All right. Fine.
Who is that?
But I did play that song because there's a group of people right in there that are trying to take care of business in the community. So
we're trying. Jason Jerry, Greater Green Bay Llama, joining us. Jason, what are, you know, if you could have a soapbox, and we're talking about some of the problems in Green Bay, and you mentioned homelessness, and we talked about fentanyl. We had Sandra Rankin here who's really battling that and everything. If you had a soapbox, what would you like to just get out and say to people right now about our area?
What I would like to say about the area?
Yeah. What we could improve on, what we should be more proud of, what we should, all those kind of things.
We should be more proud of our downtown, and I don't think it's getting enough attention to tell you the truth. Jim was always such a great proponent of talking about our downtown and things like that. But when I have the time to come down and just hang out down here, and it's rare that I have the time, but I used to get down here and just, you know, take photos, take videos of what was going on, put it on the Llama and things like that. And I was always surprised because I'm from Howard. I don't get down here all that much, but when I did, I loved the downtown area and what has been done with it. Perhaps a little more parking on the west side. We could use some more of that.
Yeah.
Especially around farmers market.
Less expensive tickets.
Yeah.
Right. That farmers market. What's your read on the public market?
On the public market? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I haven't traveled a whole lot, so I haven't really seen these public markets in the other cities.
Okay.
I don't know how they work, but, I mean, it's certainly got to be good for the town.
Todd, you've got one in Oshkosh, don't you?
Not
really
like that.
Really not a public market. Okay. They have
Milwaukee's got one, right?
By the third
that's what I've heard.
That's a great, and you got to get down there. That's a great public market, and I think this is, I know this is what they're modeling that after, and we've been down there many times. You know, It went under when it first started, right?
Okay.
And then it got redone a little bit. But I think what's important to a public market, it's not the cheapest product, you know, at the public market. I mean, there's the fresh fish and high-end tea. And so you have to be surrounded with people that will support you when tourists aren't there, right? Or when people aren't making that effort. And that's really important that your neighborhood supports your business, if it's retail, right?
Sure.
And yeah, that concerns me a little bit because when you build, but Jerry, on the other hand, we just said that what we need is more affordable housing.
Yeah.
So if it's surrounded by affordable housing, I'm just not sure the economics are there to make it all work.
Well,
but
and
I don't know everything.
They're going to be putting more housing in the shipyard area and things like that.
Right.
So hopefully the housing will follow.
Exactly. Yeah. So it can all work. And the one in Milwaukee, of course, has the third ward there that really is very, very supportive of the public market.
Well,
and it's great.
I hope it works out.
What are we doing right?
What are you doing right?
We.
It's we. Sorry, again, Howard.
Well, Howard, you guys got it going on in Howard. I mean, I love your Central Park that was donated by Arnie Schmidt.
Yep.
Gave part of it, and then the hardware guy. That's the other part. The indoor part is it Kemp's? Kemp's Hardware?
Kemp's?
Oh,
Kemp's.
That's big
Kemp's.
Okay,
yeah,
that was the guy. Kemp's, he donated that, and then Arnie Schmidt. And then you're doing that whole AMS development. I mean, that's like 1,100 people.
Yeah.
1,100 units. So that's probably going to be 2,000 people.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with all that.
But anyway, but the community is doing pretty well, right? Even though we're number 12 in best places to live, that's not bad.
Oh, I would say so. I mean, they were number one. Was it 2 years in a row or just the 1 year? Just the 1 year. And to slip to 12, it's not that big of a deal, honestly.
You know what Jim's biggest concern is? And he really does say this all the time.
Yeah.
Brain drain, young, talented,
successful people who just don't want to stay in their hometown?
Oh, it's tough. My daughter just graduated from UW-Madison.
Okay.
She's coming back because she's got a job lined up at Breakthrough.
Oh,
so, but, all right. You know, the thing is, she doesn't want to. She doesn't want, but she's got it all lined up, so now she kind of has to. But, you know, I definitely see that slipping away. Not me. I stayed here. I went to St. Norbert, and I stayed here my entire life. So.
Well, I will say one thing, though, too. The daughters or whomever that go to Madison, Madison is the Mecca then, and coming back to Green Bay is not.
She had a lot of rough time with it. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Madison, they got it going on.
My daughter would never leave Madison.
And I was down there for graduation, and I did not enjoy it in the slightest.
I hate driving around that town.
Oh, it's so bad.
I like the city if I'm not driving, but trying to find... that one drives me crazy. It just does. And the parking, trying to go to
Bowling. The football games, that parking's crazy. I mean, it's more expensive there than it is here at Lambeau. I want to say that, and I'm wondering what it is, if it's we need more breakthrough fuels or we need more amenities. But I have three daughters, and... none of them live here.
No.
And I don't know if it would be if, but they have jobs that aren't here either. I just want to say in their defense, or my defense, I guess, is that, but I'm not sure the amenities are there either. Because you can start getting a Nashville going or even Roanoke or, New York is, you're just not going to compete with New York. But we can sure compete with them on rent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a very, your money goes further here. I think that's
it does. That is a great statement. Your money definitely does go farther here. That is. A great thing to say about the city.
But that just concerns me because I think at the end of the day, you don't want to have a group of all seniors, right? Because you need to have people paying taxes and getting on boards and commissions and helping out the city. Do you think Lambeau, I mean, you've covered this for years. Well, you were 26, right, when you first started?
No, I first started out of St. Norbert. I went to Channel 2, and I was at Channel 2 for about a decade. I was the morning show producer with Kevin Rompa and Lisa Lucht for all that time. Then I hopped around like John did a little bit. I went from 2 to 11 to 26, and 26 is where I was with John for a brief time.
Yeah, right, okay. Yep.
David Frank Hermans, when he introduced us at the Whammies the other night, he says, John's worked at pretty much every station, just can't keep a job.
Yeah, if Channel 5 is listening, I'd like to hit for the cycle. So
yeah, actually, Channel 2 would be mine.
Oh, really?
Yes, yep.
And we got Ben coming on, so we got a Channel 11 will be mine.
Finest reporter in the city.
No
absolutely,
question.
Hands down, I'll say that. Especially now that Natalie Albert has left, so.
Okay, now there's a drain.
Yeah.
If Natalie had a story on that front page, you read that entire, you read that story first before you did anything else.
Absolutely.
She was phenomenal. But how many times did I say, Jim, she's not going to last here.
Right.
She's not going to stay here.
I have a daughter in publishing. And Natalie was, they know each other. And and when I told Laura, I said, hey, that Natalie Ebert is moving to Green Bay. She goes, she is not. I'm like, yeah, she is. She's moving in. She was here. Johnny and I interviewed her. And we're like, wow. I mean, to get your talent here. And she did talk about she likes the trails. She likes the area. But, you know, and then we came in here and she's leaving. So, yeah.
And that's the thing. You know, a lot of people, they have their complaints about the Press-Gazette being owned by Gannett and they're a huge conglomerate, but they have some of the finest local reporters.
Absolutely.
They really do. It's
absolutely. There's nothing against the actual people doing the writing.
Nope.
Not whatsoever.
But I wish she would have found another job here is what I'm saying.
Like
in the media or.
She made a difference. She was a difference maker.
Totally. She absolutely was.
She was a difference maker.
Yep.
Yeah. No, she was.
Talent.
Well, Jason, we're going to wrap it up here, but this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about wrestling.
I know. Well, you know what? Someday when Jim's not here, I'll get you in, and we'll talk wrestling, brother.
All right.
We will really talk wrestling.
Sounds good.
Okay. Right. Love it.
Thanks for what you're doing, Jason.
Thank you.
The information that we can get to the local people, I think, is different venues, and you do it through, you know, your llama, and Johnny and I try to do it through the radio, and there's podcasts out there, but people need to be informed if we're going to make this a better community. And, you know, you're a big part of that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here. We'll get you back again.
All right.
And I'm serious. We will talk wrestling.
Okay.
Okay.
Count on it.
All right. I got a super quick story. David Marinus, famous writer, you know, because I went to Walter Reed with him a few years back to bring gifts to the troops. Mm-hmm. And his good friend was Brett the Hitman Hart.
Oh, okay.
The nurses had to come in and tell people to calm down. These young wounded soldiers are going so crazy over Brett the Hitman Hart. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Jason, Jerry, thank you so very much. Ben and Deanna Malcor will be joining us. Ben Kremhall's just down the road. Back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Plenty of farms in Wisconsin struggling not only with the weather, but with the budget. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And many are looking at diversifying, trying to make sure they're growing revenue not to pay just today's bills, but also think about the next generation. A farmstead in Lancaster, Wisconsin will be used as an example of that diversification coming up tomorrow. Details on the way.
To help take care of your ag operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Kyle Vesperman from Vesperman Farms in Lancaster will be one of the featured panelists during the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference both tomorrow and Friday on the UW-Platteville campus. He explains why ice cream turned into one of the answers of diversification they were looking at.
To be very honest with you, it's just, I'm just a kid trying to keep this farm that's been in my family for so many generations, just keep it viable and keep it going. If people remember back 2018, 2019, those were very, very wet falls. So we had some pretty down years right after building our big building. And I was sort of looking for ideas that could be a good shoulder season or diversifying into different things and also finding things that fit really well with what we do out here at the farm. With our main audience is families with young kids. And so things that would enhance people's experience here at the farm.
Kyle Vesperman with Vesperman Farms in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Right now, they've got two ice cream trucks that literally travel the region. He also sells their ice cream to retail stores. This year, he says he'll also be selling ice cream on the farm for the first time. Typically, they're selling about 50,000 cones and dishes and 20,000 pints throughout the summer.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
Wisconsin farms struggled with the weather we've had over the past 7 days' time. As of Sunday, 74% of our soybeans are planted, 78% of our corn already in the ground. But obviously, still some ground to cover. There's a quick update on what's happening in food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
All kinds of sunshine today. We'll get to 66 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 42. Tomorrow, sunshine, 70. On Friday, partly cloudy with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future. If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a 4-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit northcountrycarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's northcountrycarpenter.org.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. From I-43 to I-41, this is the talk of Green Bay. We'll be right back.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks to Jason Jerry, Greater Green Bay Llama, for joining us. And now Ben and Deanna Malcor, moving with the Malcor's Bay Area Realty. We had fun with your replacement last week.
Kristen, isn't she great?
She's the best.
She was great.
Yeah. What a niche industry.
Like, I want to come back. I want to come back.
Yes, but she's a firecracker.
Well, we were talking about that day, and we had three great, we have always great guests, but these are people who not only knew their product, they knew their industry. And those people, and even teaching, I tell these kids, if you're going to get into, especially, you know, manufacturing or something, know your industry.
Absolutely.
And besides your product, boy, did she ever, huh?
She was great.
So impressive.
She was super. Well,
it was fun to listen to because not only is she, you know, extremely knowledgeable in her field, but her little giggle, like,
I
love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. So we were sitting down in Florida just listening.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
great.
Like, oh my God, Kristen, I love hearing your laugh on
the
radio.
Fantastic. No, she really brought some personality and some spunk. She was great.
Right. Yeah.
Not that you don't, believe me.
She's got spunk.
Oh, she's got spunk.
Yeah. Yeah. You're still talking about Kristen, right?
So did you do any in Florida? You were a little on vacation. Did you do any real estate looking down there? Is it still crazy? Or
yeah, you know what? They are a lot like us. They probably have a little bit more on the market. I think they've got a few months of inventory on the market.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a seller's market there too. And, you know, prices are... I mean, they put ours to shame for sure.
You know, I still get the emails from realtor.com or one of those things.
Sure.
And it's reading about one thing that that has evolved. And we talked a lot. We've mentioned about contingencies, the different ones. And if you're going to get an inspection contingency or you do all these kind of things. And now it seems like, and I don't know if this was around here, but it talks about people say, okay, I need to have a contingency, okay, an inspection. But no matter what, I won't hold you guys liable to pay for it. You know, normally you go back and forth then about, hey, this roof needs some flashing, yada, yada, yada. So that's getting to be the end thing, it sounds like. Has that happened up here too?
Yeah, you know what? We just actually have an offer like that right now on one of our homes that we have. They wanted an inspection, which is great.
Well, I mean, just in case, or something.
But they had written in that they weren't going to be asking for any repairs or anything. But, you know, that doesn't always happen. So when that inspection comes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the contracts are always subject to change.
Yep.
Right.
Provided both parties agree. And, you know, when you come to the table and it's whoever has the leverage, I guess, so to speak. So
I guess what I'm saying is you guys have had to be creative.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a great place to start for sure to get your offer accepted.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And how about, I have a friend of mine who's not in this market selling a place and, they're just taking bids and they're going to open them all up next Saturday or this Saturday, I guess. Did you do that? I just took them right away.
That.
You know what? That didn't happen until probably 2021 when things got really
COVID.
Crazy. Where you were getting, I mean, we would list a house. I mean, I think that house that we had in De Pere had close to 25 offers on it.
It was crazy.
It gets overwhelming. At that point, you had, because people would submit offers before they even saw it just to have the first offer. I mean, within an hour.
Wow.
And so we finally, you got to the point, I think all real estate agents are like, we're holding this for a few days.
Yeah.
Like, we need people to get in here. We need, you know, we need some time. That's kind of where it started. Luckily, we're starting to see that kind of phase out.
Okay.
So, because buyers are sick of it. So,
It's buyer fatigue. They don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they want.
Well, the frustration.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and they hold their offers. So they'll go see a house, they'll love it. But if the offers aren't going to be reviewed until a week later, they wait until the day that they're going to review because they want to see if they find anything else in between there.
So it
really kind of shoots the seller in the foot sometimes.
Got it. So right now, with the way things are going, obviously inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't developers building more houses?
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Okay.
They are. Yeah. You know, the developers are out there. The majority of it is spec
right,
homes
right.
that are going up. But, you know, from the perspective of supply, you know, even since COVID, there is still some supply issues. There is, too, the cost of gas that's factored into a lot of these
a lot of these supplies as well. So even these spec homes, you're seeing them at a higher price point.
Expensive.
So they tend to sit
a little bit more. It's not easy to build a reasonably priced house right now.
No, it's not. No.
And that's the problem.
No, which a funny little, not funny, but a little side note is we were talking about what we were going to talk about today, and we thought we'd bring up some real estate myths. And so I actually have 8 of them here, and I'm like, how many do you think we're going to get through today?
Okay. What's that supposed to mean?
Jim and Todd says one. Come on. And so Ben's like, maybe 2. So I am going to say one of them.
For the next 7
I know we could be talking about this
so you're the host. Deanna Melchor is the host. Bay Area Realty. Johnny
okay, you and I both have had our license. We'll
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Here's one of them.
Okay.
Should you get an inspection on a new build?
But I don't know.
Yes.
Well, I would say the only reason I don't think you can ever be too cautious, but if the inspectors from the city, plumbing, electrical, building, if they give you a stamp, we have really good inspectors here.
We do.
I don't know if they've all signed off on it. It's a new build.
I said yes. What do you say?
Yeah, okay. I would say yes, but I wouldn't. It's not real high on my list.
Can you just make it just definitive answer? That's all we're asking.
Everything after the butt.
I'm like those game show hosts where they like talk about it a little bit. You don't want yes or no. We got to fill the time. So you think out loud. But I'll say yes.
Yeah, Ben, do you want to give the answer?
You know, the answer is yes. You should get a yes. Thank you very much. And the winning answer. Yeah, the longest inspection amendment, and just for those who are listening, after you enter into a contract with someone and you do the home inspection, to ask for repairs, you do an amendment. The longest inspection repair amendment I ever drafted was on a new construction. It was
really
two amendments long, Amendment A and Amendment B.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Shoddy workmanship or subcontractors?
A bunch of different things. Yeah.
Paid off inspectors.
They had backfilled too early. You know, they're on a tight schedule too.
Sure.
And they've got to get all their subcontractors in. They've got to hit these deadlines. So it happens for a reason.
Right.
That was just the start of a bunch of issues that were coming up, and they repaired all of them.
They did. Yeah. The builder stepped up and said, hey, I'll take care of all these things. And they did. But yeah, I mean, when we talk about new construction and what kind of new construction is going up, and we talk about the spec home market, and a lot of these, there's hard deadlines. They want to keep things moving along.
I wanted to say on the inspector thing, the reason I brought that up is Jim Arts, who used to be the chief of police here, and his son and my daughter married. So we're down in Nashville this weekend for the baptism, and their porch, 5 years old, their porch, they had to replace it. $30,000.
Wow.
And Jim said this would have, because I can't believe the inspector signed off on this construction. Because it was a new build.
But sure.
I know our inspectors wouldn't have signed off on that porch.
Right.
But anyway, so I guess to get inspected can't hurt. But yeah, can you believe that? 5 years, $30,000?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's actually surprising they had a deck on the back. You know, most new construction, it's pretty, you know, they've got unfinished basements, no landscaping, you know, deck. Sometimes they'll put that plate on to put a deck. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to do it right, why do it?
Right.
Just skip it.
Crazy. Okay, give us another.
Another one? Oh. Okay.
This is 2. We're through two.
We're making our way. Before break.
What was the over-under, Todd?
Yeah. We're going to break pretty soon. So.
Okay. I'll give you kind of two right in a row.
Okay.
So these are mortgage related. So I was going to start with these because I figured we'd talk about Kristen a little bit.
Okay.
But do you need 20% down on your mortgage?
No.
That has always been kind of like the benchmark, but I think now, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you're spot on. They've got some great products. I think 3% down, it usually can get you into, you know, a type of really good kind of conventional loan, depending on what lender you're using.
So, lenders are getting a little bit more.
They are.
They're getting savvy. Yeah.
You'll still have the private mortgage insurance that you have to pay until you have 20% or, you know, 80% equity in your home. But, you know, sometimes that's worth it.
Yeah.
But it's nice to get that 20%. Like you said, not just to save the insurance, but, you know, you got equity.
Instantly.
But I think kids today should go to their, if you know your parents are kind of saving up for when they die, ask them for the money now. Say, look, you know. I need it now. I want to buy a house, and it's going to be part of you. This is going to mean much more to me today than it will in 20 years.
It could change people's lives.
I wish we had that advice when we started.
Right?
How about you guys pay for your first one?
Oh, boy. I don't even remember.
85,
yeah,
maybe?
I think it was 85,000.
89.
What year?
In 95.
Oh, 95,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine was 88. And 62,000.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
In Alloway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Ours was in like Schmidt Park area.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could have gotten more, but they sold for sale by owner.
They did. Damn Fizbos.
Should have gone with Bay Area.
That's right. Okay. The other one is, if you are refused by one lender, does that mean you can't get a mortgage?
No.
No. You got to keep looking.
Gotta keep looking.
And you know, I don't know why that is, but I would say for commercial for sure, but I mean, for housing as well. I mean, and there's some banks that they may be at a point where their focus, their strategy is to get more residential. Mm-hmm. Other people are like, we're done with this for a while. Yeah, so it's not, don't take it personally.
Yeah, they all handle different products.
It's shocking kind of though, when people do their credit things and you realize how many people have had problems, whether it was a foreclosure or a bankruptcy or whatever, I mean, there's... Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It happens to so many people.
That's what I mean.
Just don't let that stop you. Don't be embarrassed by it.
Right.
Just be honest with it. A lot of times if you talk to your agents too, especially if you were refused at one lender, we work with so many different lenders with different products. You know, if you've got a bad credit rating, we know where to send you.
Yeah.
You know, that would probably be your best hope in getting a mortgage. So just be open as much as you feel comfortable with.
And it's bizarre too, because I remember I dealt with this lady getting their house sold. And I was dealing with the other agent, you know, for the buyer, and they were struggling on getting getting their loan. And it was through a company out of California, which is, you know, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the lady said, well, we don't think it's worth blah, blah, blah. I said, can I send you some comps? She says, what? I said, just some comps. She said, what's comps? I said, some other pictures of a house in the neighborhood. They're all built exactly the same. And what they went for. Oh, that's a good idea. And it's like, what? How do you do it in California with these small houses? It's like what?
Yeah.
And I sent her three. I sat there and just went through, the MLS and found three of them. And it was like, and then boom, she got it.
Yeah.
If you don't dig a little bit, if you just take things at face value sometimes, it's like, I mean, you got to keep digging.
You do.
But I think you as realtors, and you said you get to know your clients and really get to understand them. But sometimes people get so in love with the house that they sign a crazy mortgage like that out of Michigan too, right? That was a big thing. And the interest rates are crazy. And you know, it's like you really got to say to them, you should pass on this. But, you know, they're so in love and they want to do it that they'll pay anything for the house.
You have to. And we kind of, you know, like I think we mentioned before, especially if they're new buyers first time home buyers, they feel like our kids. So
absolutely.
you sit down and like,
that's nice.
Do you really want to make this payment every month?
Right.
You know, it's a lot. I know you can afford it, but what are you going to have to give up to have it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally, completely agree.
Well, and just tying in Kristen from the last show is, you know, the importance of working with a local lender.
Right.
You know,
well, another thing that's crazy, that was property taxes in some areas.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
shit. They weren't as high. Look, don't get me started.
What?
I pay plenty.
Did you guys do?
Not you guys.
Yeah. All right. Poor Jim has three eyes looking at him.
No, it was not me. It was not me.
Wow. We got a text here. So, Jim, if we give money to our kids now, how do we cover assisted living at $6,000 a month later in life?
That's a good point.
Well, and $6,000 is cheap.
I was going to say, because those places.
My mom's was that 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like by your question, your kids ain't getting any money. Because it's probably 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a hard no from our parents, too.
Yeah. But you know, one of the things is, too, with the market the way it is right now, and Jim and I were talking about that, you guys are in a tough business. I mean, it's tough. You guys brokers and everything, but still a typical agent, they don't have that check coming in no matter what every week, every 2 weeks.
No.
Honestly, everybody thinks it's a lot easier than it is, don't
and
they?
And we don't either. We're 100% commission like everybody else.
Okay.
So there's no guarantee. There's a lot of risk. When we start a job, it's maybe 45 days down the road
exactly.
That we get paid.
Yeah. But on the other hand, though, you are established. You're well-known. You're bricks and mortar. The problem with real estate, and the problem is some of your competitors don't have the same structure as you do. They don't have, you know what I mean? And they may sell one or two homes a year, yet that's a competitor. Whereas if you just compete with everybody who's like you, you'd win the game. Yeah. So anyway.
We are with Ben and Deanna Malcor. We'll be back with more. I'm over with the Malcors, Bay Area Realty, right after this.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Mother has to iron his shirt, then she sends the kids to school, sees them off with a small kiss.
Hey, welcome back. Mine or the Mayor here on a good-looking Wednesday morning with Ben and Deanna Malcor, Movie with the Malcors, Bay Area Realty. Do you have any more myths?
Yes. I do.
Okay, here's another one.
Hit us with another one.
All right, are you
guys
ready?
John Mino is a good realtor. I mean, it's
a myth. Hey, I still have people I work for asking for lock boxes back.
John, you still got my sign?
I'll be honest with you.
I think they're in my car.
Yeah. I know. We have a lot of lock boxes and signs from all sorts of agencies around town.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's funny. That happens. So, all right. One myth is, and you tell me if it's true. Well, obviously it's not because it's a myth. Price your home high to leave room for negotiations. In this market.
I would say yes. No, I would say yes because I don't want to leave money on the table.
Yeah.
Because there used to be I would say yes too. But there used to be two ways of looking before things turned upside down. There were some people, I know this for a fact, they would tell their clients that I'm going to get you four offers guaranteed. And they would lowball to make them look better. Like, oh, look, aren't I a great? Tell your friends I get you four offers. Well, she probably got her the offer that she should have started at.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she wasted everybody's time. I think that's unethical.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that kind of happen with that. But do you want to answer this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I would not price it high and leave room for negotiation.
No. Okay.
You should price it appropriately, which would in turn drive price up or purchase price in entertaining multiple offers.
But it's got to be tough getting comps now, isn't it? Because things have changed so much in a year and a half.
You have to have a shorter time span. So when you're pulling your comps, it's got to be for like the last
six months. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. It can't be from 2 years ago or something.
It's changing all the time.
Exactly
but
what I meant.
Sellers have to remember that their list price is just to attract buyers.
Right.
So that price either attracts them or keeps them away from your house. And so the more buyers that you have come to your house and write on your offer or write on your home, the more competition you have driving up the price.
Absolutely.
You don't need room for negotiations if you price it right.
All right. And I think
we're
talking
to some pros here.
We are. I was just going to say that because during the break, we were talking about, you know, I think everyone does know a realtor, but, you know, when you look at Ben and Deanna, you're seasoned realtor. This is what you do. This is your life. It's not part time.
Yeah.
You've built a business. And I would say that in this case, I would listen to my realtor if it were you. You know, but some guy that does this part time or my brother's brother or my sister's brother in law or something, whatever, I'm not going to, then I would price it myself. But no, I agree with you because you guys know. I mean, you've done the study, you're in the industry.
So. Yep.
Well, you have to stay so on top of it right now.
Oh, man.
Oh, you do.
It's like unbelievable.
Yeah. And we always lead with a caveat. It is your home to sell. So
we can give you
what the market is saying. But if you have a price in mind, we'll market it. We'll do our best to get you that price. But it almost always just kind of sits. And in this market, if it sits for 7 days and you don't have an offer in hand, people are wondering what's wrong.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking earlier, too, about writing contracts.
Yeah.
You know, and how nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
you know, that can be, that also comes with, and just tying that into, you know, positioning yourself with a realtor who does it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is your nest egg. This is your nest egg. Right. Trust it with somebody who is, you know, lives, eats, and breathes real estate, right. You know.
I remember one time it was on a thing going back, amendment going back on a thing on their offer or whatever. And the next morning I read it and it's like, do I have this one word wrong? Does this give it a wrong connotation?
Yeah.
And I had to go to my broker and go, well, you know, a judge, he has to say the intent is, you weren't trying to scam anybody or whatever. But I was I couldn't sleep thinking, oh my God, that's the wrong word to use it like that.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Sleepless nights over one word.
It was
going
to be $6,000 difference. Either I was going to have to tell my guy $6,000 for the good or the bad.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I think we have cracked the code on like how to be able to talk everything that we want to talk about during the radio
what's
show.
The code,
dude? We just throw the topics and we let them talk.
Todd, give her the bell.
I think we figured it out.
Yep. This is how we're going to do it from this point forward. We're just going to bring you guys questions.
They strategized on how to be on our show, John.
Do you have any more?
Oh, I have a couple more.
We're not done with it.
One more. Real estate agents, their only goal is to sell your house fast.
No.
Well, some.
Probably.
I'm not some. You got to admit, some of these guys, come on, John. We both.
Yeah, but you don't want to take the first offer just to say we sold it in a day.
I think there are a handful of realtors, and obviously not Bay Area, but that are in it strictly for the money.
Well, I know
you guys aren't. You're in there for long term. Yeah. Your referrals. People sell their house every 7 years or something.
Yep.
You want to sell their kids' house and their parents' house, and
we want to be there for the lifetime.
But I think there are some realtors that are like I can make
$3,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
But you know what? They really. I mean, we all should have the same kind of philosophy, and we have it part of our presentation. Is that not only do we want to sell your home quick, we want to sell it for the least amount of hassle for our clients, because there's a lot of hassle. There's between negotiations and repairs, and a lot of it when you're working with an agent, a lot of it you don't even know happens because we know. Take a deep breath. Wait 24 hours. It'll probably work itself out, and then we talk to our clients.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it does. It works itself out. You know, we just keep moving forward. So, and then of course we want our clients to walk away with as much equity as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're gonna, you know, your business. You can run all the ads you want, but it's a referral business.
No question.
You know, you treat people right, and
both the buyer and the seller.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really important that they both walk away happy, and that's not always easy. You know, I mean, but. Yeah, I mean, that's because you guys are young. You're going to be around for a long time. I think
I like that.
Oh, yes.
I know something I had to mention to you, too, about because my daughter, selling her house.
Right.
And we talked about those letters that some people.
Yeah.
And I said, stay away from those.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
When people are like, I love your house. My daughter wants this room and blah, blah, blah.
They're heart-wrenching.
They're heart-wrenching.
Especially if you know you're going to say no.
But you suggest stay away.
You know what? Yes and no. I mean, it's one of those things that there are buyers that, you know, a lot of times they have a great story and they've fallen in love with that house.
Right.
You know, now you don't see them as often now, so they do stick out a little bit more. But, you know, back in 2021, when those really took off was when there was 25 offers per house and the sellers had to try to, you know,
separate them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all amazing. They're all a good story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they finally just said, stop sending them. We're not going to show them to the seller.
Yeah.
I've written them, but the house wasn't even on the market. I just I love your house. I was through there one time, and I just, you know, and really, people are super nice about that. They write back, look, we love our house too. We have no intentions of moving.
Okay, we're running out of time. But are some of those kind of scams where.
Oh, the letters?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe like Jim did, where they're not on the market.
Where they're just trying to get a listing.
AI.
Yeah.
AI, write me a letter.
That's right.
Ben and Deanna Malcor, moving with the Malcors, Bay Area Realty. If you're looking to buy or sell, give them a call. They will not steer you wrong. You guys are so authentic, and you guys are so knowledgeable and so personable. You guys are phenomenal.
This is why starting our morning with you.
All right.
Yes, love having you guys here. All right. We got to set our break. Ben Krumholtz from Fox 11 News joining us right after this.
Our house, it has a crowd.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Todd Albaugh,
Everybody, join us next time. We welcome back Pat Kreitler of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.